ナモバガベテバスレバヤオムナモバガベテバスレバヤオムナモバガベテバスレバヤ
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, Verse Number 30. So...
Yam
Brahmarshi
Manti
Varyas
Te
So Yam Brahmarshi Varyas Te Simaras Te Rajarshi
Rajarshi
Pravarad VibhoRajarshi Pravarad Vibho Gatam Arhati
Dharma
Yeah Kartam Arhati Dharmam Yeah Vadam PiturVihatmaja Vadam Pitor Vivatmaja
Okay. Anyone else have the verse?
So yam brahmarshi varyashte Vijarshi pravarad vibho Katam arti dharmam gya Vadam pitor ivatma jaha
So yam brahmarshi varyashte
Not only a Brahmana, but the best of the great sages.
The best of the great sages.
Or Brahmarshis. Te, also from you.
Also from you.
Rajarishi Pravarat.
Brahmarishi Pravarat.
Who are the best of all saintly kings.
Who are the best of all saintly kings.
Or Rajarshis.
Or Rajarshis.
Vibho.
Vibho.
O master of the state.
O master of the state. Gata.
Arhati.
Deserve.
Dharmagya.
Dharmagya.
O you.
Who We're quite aware of religious principles.
Vedan,
killing.
Itu,
from the Father.
Ivam,
like.
Atmaja,
the Son. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, You are completely aware of the religious principles. As a son never deserves to be killed by his father, here is a brahmana who should be protected by the king and never killed. How does he deserve to be killed by a Rajarshi like you? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Rajarshi here refers to a king who behaves like a rishi or a sage. Such a king is also called Naradev because he is considered a representative of the Supreme Lord. Because his duty is to rule the kingdom, to maintain Brahminical culture, He never deserves to be killed, to kill a Brahmin. Oh, thank you. He never desires to kill a Brahmin. Generally, a Brahmin, woman, child, old man, or cow is never regarded as punishable. Thus, the wife of the Brahmana requested the king to refrain from this sinful act. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nivasesha Sunyavadi Paschata Desitarne. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master has opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. It's a dynamic torchlight of knowledge, blazing. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So here in this pastime, this story of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a little peculiar that you run into a situation like this. So in thinking of Gauravani, when we offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, we always remember that we're... He's instructing us in the teachings, in the message of Lord Chaitanya. And I was thinking in the intricacies of action are very difficult to understand. And the Bhagavad Gita starts us off. I was thinking of verse 11 in the second chapter. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for that which is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. And in a purport, Prabhupada said something that really stuck with me. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics and sociology. But he did not know that knowledge of matter, the soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formalities. So when reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanatan Goswami, he started off with, when he was talking with Lord Chaitanya, Kayami, who am I? It wasn't so long ago, I was talking to a devotee, and the devotee, we were having some discussion, and the person said something to me that was kind of shocking to me. They said, do you know who you are? Like maybe they knew, I don't know. They said, do you know who you are? So, in the process, Ado Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, and Nartanivritti, we're familiar with those nine stages. So, Ado Shraddha is sometimes is referred to, in the beginning there's faith. Srila Prabhupada translates it in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 4.10. Ooh, How about that?
Open to the page.
He says, in the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. That's the way he describes a Dosharatha. Who are you? So we're coming to understand that Srila Prabhupada has said on more than one occasion, you're different from your body. So by negative understanding, then you're someone else. Who are you? This particular part, we're accepted that we're the consciousness. The symptom of the soul is that there's consciousness. And our consciousness more or less develops into our destiny. Yum yum, apismaram bhavam. Whatever state of consciousness you're in at the time of death, you get another material body or spiritual body. And that body is also referred to as karma, because 8.3 Bhagavad Gita mentions fruit of those activities that produce another material body is called karma, or fruit of activities. So this is our identification. This is our, generally as conditioned souls, we identify with these bodies that we're in right now. Young, old, male, female, human, etc. Like that. So, with Lord Chaitanya's teachings, he said, I'm not a Brahmin, a Vaishya, Sudra, but I'm, how does he say it? He didn't identify himself with any of these material situations. Now, in this particular part, we're seeing there's no mention of his actual identity. He's being mentioned here that he's a king. I call this the assumed context. Someone talks to you, and they just assume something, like, how are you? Well, they're generally referring to, you mean, how's my body? Sometimes I say, well, I'm Satchitananda, but I got a touch of the material energy, so I'm not feeling so good, you know. But, yeah, we're all Satchitananda, which is our nature. So self-realization, here also in the Bhagavad Gita, it mentions you attain to my nature. So that nature, what is Krishna's nature, is Satchitananda. Ours is also Satchitananda, but we have a touch of this material energy. So Srila Prabhupada, let's say we followed the mercy trail, because there's like nitya siddhas and sadhana siddhas, but I call myself anyway a kripa sadhana, that I couldn't even perform this sadhana, because we see over the years to perform sadhana is not an easy thing. It's actually a great blessing to be able to perform sadhana, and we're held up by mercy. You don't exactly see the mercy except by the result of the mercy. Just like, I can't help but think of this. When I was 8 years old, I was in Sears, and they had a display of a vacuum cleaner, and it was a beach ball floating in the air under the vacuum cleaner. It was being held up by the pressure being forced from the vacuum cleaner. So I'm 8 years old, and I'm looking at, how's that beach ball floating? I said, oh, I bet it's because there's an airflow between the beach ball and the vacuum cleaner. So 8 years old, I go by and I put my hand between the two. You know what happens when you do that? The beach ball falls. I just broke his display. I go running off. I say, oh, I just broke the whole thing. How are they going? So in a similar way, we're being held up by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And it's holding us so we can perform all these wonderful activities in Krishna consciousness. And I have my external memory in my pocket here. There's a nice verse. There's so many nice verses. But there was one I was thinking of. Is Adi 3:79. So I'm just going to pull that up if I can. Shruti Dar. No. Okay. And this says, one who says that 10 million Asvamedha sacrifices are equal to the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist, and he is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. So what we're doing has to, I was thinking that in one sense it's kind of handy that we don't fully understand, because Savas, he would have to put storm drains all over the temple room here. Because if we could understand that we've been in this material world for millions and millions of births, how many species have we gone through? They have this number, 8,400,000. You see a bug, you see a tree. You see, I've been there, I've done that. We've been through all those. We've come to the human form of life, Durlabha Manasa Janma, very hard to get. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, our consciousness is being changed. So Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto that real education is education of the subtle body. So because this, it was described the other day when Maharaj was giving class, when I asked how it is that everyone is forced to act helplessly, but yet devotees aren't being forced to act helplessly because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he said destiny. And destiny is another word for karma. That's your karma, that's your destiny. They're used interchangeably, and we're identified with this body. However, when one takes initiation from the spiritual master, something extraordinary takes place. You're connected to the internal potency. Now, the internal potency, those activities do not produce material bodies. So he frees you from your destiny. He frees you from your karma. There's no more, like, for instance, we use the word tapasya, not too often, but once in a while, and austerity or penance. And I think about that sometimes. If you're ever driving down the street and you make a sharp turn, you're pushed to the side, whichever, so you would continue to go straight because of, they call it inertia. But yet, you're making the turn. So our destiny, our karma, our material senses and mind, they have a push on us. They're always pushing us to do something. But instead of listening to the mind and the senses, we listen to the instructions of the spiritual master. Now that push, we experience that push of going in the direction that we were before. So the force to hold up against that pressure, that's our tapasya, that's our penance. The penance is to follow the orders of the spiritual master, because that destiny, that location where you go, is so much different than your previous one. I know for myself, it's like throwing a 180 going down the highway. You know, there's making a U-turn. There's a force to keep you going where you were. But if you hold on tightly to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, you don't go that direction. You're making the change. And then after a while, 325.18, it says, after a while the modes act less powerfully upon you. So these modes of nature, these are the intricacies of action. Everyone's forced to act as by those modes, but a devotee isn't. Oh, that reminds me. There's two more points I thought of, because I want to end on time. Is there's besides the Kayami, who am I, Lord Chaitanya? Santan Goswami asked. Lord Chaitanya in Adi 1763. I'm going to just do this. Adi 1763. Sometimes I can remember these things. There was a Brahmin who got upset with Lord Chaitanya. And the Brahmin said, the Brahmin cursed the Lord. He says, you shall be reft of all material happiness. He cursed Lord Chaitanya to say that. So when the Lord heard this, he felt great jubilation in himself. Haribo! He was cursed. You'll never, you'll be bereft of all material happiness. And he said, so the result of that was, in the next verse, if this machine goes there, it says, this is Adi Lila 17, text 64. Anyone, any faithful person who hears of this Brahman's cursing of Lord Chaitanya is delivered from all Brahminical curses. See the mercy that we have? We have these, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada's books. So here, this particular king, he gets cursed to become a Rakshasa. And he's, according to his identification with the mind and the body, the real education is educating your subtle body, changing your consciousness from fruitive activities to devotional service. Fruitive activities has a long list of synonyms like the bodily conception of life, other people and their bodily conception of life. Because Krishna says he has different potencies. Generally, we can break them down into three for simple. He has the Maya, the external energy under his direction. He has the internal direction, internal potency, which we're learning about by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Golokera Premadan, Harinam Sankirtan. He's the embassy of the internal potency. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. Lord Chaitanya came to experience, he says, desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes by her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly engaged, richly endowed with her emotions, took birth, appeared just like from the womb of Mother Sachi, just like the moon appears from the ocean. So we're in the under the special mercy. We're saying, okay, let's if we follow the mercy trail, we're all experiencing the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who's bringing this from the spiritual world. So one time I was offering my obeisances, greeting the deities, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, thank you for your mercy. But there's a game I used to play when I was a child called hot potato. Anybody play, you know hot potato? We know hot potato. You throw somebody a hot potato. So if you ever try to give a devotee a compliment, it is very difficult to give a devotee a compliment. He'll do anything to accept a compliment. So Srila Prabhupada, being expert and the acharya, he says, I'm simply carrying out the order of my spiritual master. So I say, oh, okay. Like the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where's the mercy? So then I say, Bhakti Siddhanta, you're so kindly had your servant come and deliver us. He says, well, I'm simply following the orders of my spiritual master. And then six Goswamis, they're all there. You're offering your obeisances, all six Goswamis. They're saying, well, it's Lord Nityananda. Where will we be without Lord Nityananda? One little bit about Lord Nityananda. Sometimes we're doing one thing, but we would like to do something else. There's more than one way to handle a situation. Like when Lord Chaitanya came, he's a very formal sannyasi. But he has many aspects of his personality. So he has another aspect that just will do anything and everything. So he expands as Lord Nityananda. I sometimes think Lord Nityananda is Krishna's wild side. He can do anything, and he has no... That's Lord Nityananda. He's Avadut. He can do whatever he wants. So the Lord expands to... Just like it says, oh, you wear many hats. You know, you're a father, a son, a husband. You have your business situation. So you wear many hats. But Krishna, Vishnu Tafa, he just expands and does everything himself. So, all right. We were on destiny. Oh, I had this one more point. I just got derailed in my thinking, so I have to recoup. There's this other verse that we were doing penance. Okay, so we had the idea, everybody should understand this clearly, because a lot of times when it says free from karma, they don't exactly have that clear that there are three divisions of Krishna's energy. You have the external energy, which you're forced to do, until the spiritual master gives you a choice to do something that's not going to produce a material reaction. So because you have that choice now, you're free to do something else. You're free. So just like there's the external energy and there's the internal energy, do you know what's between the two of those? What's between the external energy and the internal energy? Marginal energy. That's where we come in. We get to pick. This is by all the Vedas I am to be known. So we get to pick whether, with your full consciousness, whether you want to do external potency or internal potency. This is our Durlabha Manasajam. This is our human independence. This is what's given to us to know. Because if you misuse it, well, you don't know when you're going to come back to the human form of life. Because this is what the human form of life is for. Prema Pumarta Mohan is to do this. So, for myself, I'm always trying to remember Krishna. Krishna says, can you just remember my name? Just my name. If that'll work, if you can just remember. What do you call it? Oh, so we remember Krishna. So always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So I'm trying to notice what is taking place by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And the unique feature is when we offer our obeisances, that changes everything. Without offering the obeisances, what hope is there? Where is there any hope? So in our obeisances, we should be conscious of offering our obeisances and be aware of the external nature that's going to be pushing on us. And because we've accepted the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and taking, when we're offering our obeisances, we can redirect our existence. Just like the bell metal to gold, the arguments with born Brahmins against initiated Brahmins, Prabhupada explained that generally the consciousness comes with the body, yam yam api smaram bhavam. So if you weren't born as a Brahmin, you don't have Brahmin consciousness. But because the spiritual master, we're giving him power of attorney for our mind and our activities, we're acting under the orders of the spiritual master. We're not acting like our body. We're acting as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, one is a Brahmin by the mercy of the spiritual master. In fact, a Brahmin, but even more as a Vaishnava and all the activities that we perform. So there was another verse that I was... So we got the order of spiritual master, intricacies of action, internal act. And of course, the external activities, they're all covered by some sort of fault. So you have no reason not to do your duty, but your consciousness is the most important element. And then, just like if one of us, part of humility is thinking, do you know who you are? That adoshvara. You have preliminary desire to know that if you're not this body, who are you? And in fact, there's a nice verse that really stuck when I read it. It's 10:14:7. It's a prayers by Lord Brahma. But in the purport, Sanatana Goswami points out that Krishna has unlimited qualities. That's the verse. But how Sanatana Goswami explains it is that's because Krishna has one quality unique to each individual. There's one quality, but your relationship with Krishna is not the same as anyone else's. The way that Krishna relates to you and you relate to Krishna, what you have to give Krishna, no one else can give. So that makes everyone very special. You can use this for, in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, Nir Matsaranam Satam. A very important aspect in that verse is non-envious, or those who are pure in heart, the threefold miseries exist no longer. So it's important to know. And how that is, so when you see that each person is part and parcel of Krishna, and they have something that Krishna wants, their love. That's why they're created, or however you want to say that context, to give that love to Krishna. And our purpose, it's all about relationship. There's no one more dear to me than he who helps establish that relationship based on the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam has that wonderful word, avarujite, which means by this knowledge, by this understanding, we're consciousness, we're not this body. There's the fruit of activities which make up the mindset of the bodily conception of life. There's devotional service, which is the preliminary desire for understanding who you are eternally. We're practicing that bhajana kriya under the order of the spiritual master. And we'll come one day to understand that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna specific. We have a specific form and activities and pastimes. And in fact, in the Madhurya Kadambini, it explains that there's the difficult part in Krishna consciousness for the most of us is the anartha nivritti stage, because there you get to silhouette your attachments against your desire for pure devotional service that also manifests as the tenth offense. It's quite a few places. And Krishna just says, well, what do you really want? Would you like me? Would you like something else? So, of course, I say, what else you got? And Krishna says, well, really, I don't have anything besides me. But for you, I can create something that looks like it's not me. So it's okay, I'll take it. It's endlessly mutable. So I've been working with this for a long time, and it doesn't seem to ever work for me. So you can ask again, is that offer still on the table? And he says, yeah, it's always on the table. Do you want me or something else? So for a devotee, what's the answer? Krishna, I only want you. I don't want anything else. So there, it's a clearing stage. So it gets brought up to the consciousness, silhouetted. You know what I mean by silhouetted? With the knowledge of pure devotional service, we get the director's cut. We get to see how this material energy is working and how the spiritual energy is working. Sri Shapanishad number 11. One should understand the process of nescience, fruit of activities, karma, kanda, bodily conception of life, and that of transcendental knowledge side by side. And you get a boon if you do that. Asnute. You get to enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So we were talking about one of the things that happened to me some years ago. I started to think, do I know anything? I don't think I know anything. So then I said, well, I think they're trying to make the point of trying to distinguish one thing from something else. So I said, what are they trying to distinguish in this Krishna consciousness, one thing from something else? And it's fruit of activities and devotional service, process of nescience, and that is transcendental knowledge, side by side. So I made a column, and I started writing the synonyms down for fruitive activities. And you find that almost everything fits into one of these two columns. Bodily conception of life, sense gratification, it's temporary, it's miserable, I think I'm the enjoyer, it's got a false ego, it's temporary. And you get yourself a list going. And after you kind of, if you the kind of person that can do something like that, you get the moment where the whole material world, the whole Maya, everything turns into seeing how this fruit of activities works, the whole creation, or something else. What else you got? Okay, there's the column. It manifests. There's what else I got. So you see it, and then you see, you make the other column of devotional service. And in the beginning, if you're making this list, you can kind of like do the antithesis. It's, well, if I'm not in the bodily conception of life, Jivara Sarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas, I'm Krishna service. So you make the whole other column, and then you have the one in the middle. So what do I do with this? Okay, I said, well, I got three, and when I make the, and I look at the internal potency side, I smile, and I feel everybody's smiling, because there's satisfaction. You don't get any satisfaction in the material world. Even the Rolling Stones know that. So sat is fact. So if you put S-A-T, you can also say that in Sanskrit, sat, eternity. Eternity is a fact, but you have to be on. So if you're on, then you're I'm on. Sat is fact, I on. So you have satisfaction. All right. So anyway, Krishna starts off like that. Never. He had made the word never. Never there was a time you did not exist. So then he said, but you don't have to take my word for it. He says, look for yourself. You had a little body. Where's that body now? You're still here. The body's gone. And he shows you all the different bodies. So then what? He says, you're going to have to learn. What are you going to have to learn? You're going to have to learn how to tolerate. Learn how to tolerate this material energy while you're performing devotional service. And practically the whole process of devotional service is learning how to do that. And, of course, it's a process of knowledge. Humility, prize, nonviolent tolerance. You're learning how to tolerate. And then you have tatenu kampam. You're, all the while you're tolerating, you're still offering your obeisances to the internal potency. So dayabak becomes your rightful claim, muktipad. And we know from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that that means bhakti. So if you've done it, getting ready to do it, doing it, done it, then you graduate into Nectar of Instruction, Text 1. Now you can tolerate the six pushings, and you got it. Because the only way you can do it is Param Drishta Navardhante. So you cultivated this taste. Now, I was going to relate all this to this verse. And help me. it's because they're not... We're up to the ninth canto. The next canto is the tenth canto, where it's just summum bonum. So we have to have all these things in place. We have to understand the fruit of activities. We have to understand the devotional source. And we have to understand our choice. And we can see, even if you have a million pious activities, I mean, ask King Nikra. He, practically speaking, he was so pious. He did so much stuff in the lizard situation. So the intricacies of action are difficult to understand. There's five factors. Ultimately, Krishna is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, Prema Pumartmahina, it's about your relationship. And nutshell verse, Rite Ritam Napratyayata. This Rite Ritam means it doesn't have any value. There's no value if there's not a relationship with Krishna. That's what it's about. We're waking up, Jeev Jagam. So I'm getting at the hint that it's time to ask for questions or comments. And I thank you very much. It really wasn't my day. And it was only by your mercy that and His mercy and all the wonderful devotees here that I've been given an opportunity to say something. And there's a saying, it says, best to remain silent and thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubts. Thank you. So there's questions or comments, and okay, and well, we know that Prasadam is coming up next. The only other verse that I was going to try to say, if I could find it, is consciousness. Oh well. I thought I wrote it down, but one last try. It mentions that that simply by here it is, found it, 325:36. So I'm going to look this up. 325:36. And this Srimad Bhagavatam, 325, I think it was 36, I said. Oh, thanks. Short-term memory loss. It says, upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling, attractive, and hearing of His pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are free from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he obtains liberation without separate endeavor. And in the purport, Prabhupada said, There are three divisions of devotees, first, second, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. All right? So, here's why. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautifully decorated deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thoughts of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness and engaging his senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceivably liberated. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. So, it's such a fascinating point that we're liberated, and when we took initiation, when we say Nama Om, one of the things that I do is each time I, for months, I'll spend maybe one word, like Nama. Spend a long time thinking what that means so you're integrated when you're offering your obeisances so it doesn't become a routine, a Niyamagraha can set in. So you take, and then Om, just like I made those three columns, last point. The three columns. So what Sanskrit letter looks like a three with a little smiley face next to it? Om. So whenever you say Om, we say it a lot, Nama Om, Om Namo, think of these three columns and you're given the choice. Now this is all the Vedas are about, is understanding material energy, the spiritual energy, and you're the Tash, the Shakti of Krishna. Your independence is to offer your love to Krishna. So every time you say the word Om, they're giving you the whole perspective, but it's in a hint because there's an intrigue of love. You can't tell somebody, you have to love me. It doesn't work. There's an intrigue which you have to use your ingenuity. 2:9:22 or 24, where Krishna is talking to Lord Brahma, I gave you these hints and you used your ingenuity, and the highest form of ingenuity is to see me by realization. So all you're going to get is hints, no matter how many classes you listen to, no matter what you do, and you have to put it together from within your heart. So when you say Nama Om, think of it like that so you see, here's your choice. Okay, so Vas is looking at the clock. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.